Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Unfiltered Empowered Woman podcast. Today I am here with one of my close friends who has unfortunately left me to go to Sydney. I'm very sad, but it couldn't stop me from getting her on the podcast. If you follow me on Instagram, you probably already know this person because I feel like I post about her like every week. So I'm like, oh my God, Becca is so knowledgeable. She knows this, she knows that, she's taught me this, she's taught me that. And you guys are always calling me like Ice Bath Queen. I'm not the queen, like I'm the princess. Becca is the queen. Becca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I kind of have to go into professional mode a little bit because obviously you're one of my close friends, but and we talk about this stuff all the time, so I'm kind of going to be semi-professional while also just speaking to my friend.
But those are the best kind of podcasts, I think. Like, I love interviewing my friends, and I feel very blessed to have like such a good friendship group where there's so many of my friends that I can like learn so much from. And you know, like I always say that to you, like every time we spend time together, I feel like I've learned something new, or it's just like, or like just made me think about different things. So I think that's something that like really made me appreciate, or makes me appreciate living here. Like obviously you don't live here anymore, but it's just such a good place to surround yourself with people who are interested in the same stuff as you and who can teach you stuff and help you grow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So for the listeners who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and like what it is you have to do for work?
Yeah, so I'm a bit of, I would say I do a little bit of everything. So I used to be a nurse. I'm still a registered nurse, but don't actively do nursing anymore. But after I did nursing, I did personal training, I was a nutrition coach, and actually everything I've done ever in life has always been to do with helping people in some way and always health related. So I've done my nursing, I've done my personal training, I've done my nutrition coaching. Then I got into cognitive behavior therapy because I found a lot of my clients that were coming to me in the gym for personal training had issues with binge eating. So I know that you will be able to relate a lot to this with your binge eating clients. And, you know, my thing was personal training and, you know, working out isn't going to solve this issue. But at the time, I didn't understand the issue. I never was someone who had an issue with food restricting or binge eating. So I wanted to understand the behaviors as to why these women were struggling with binge eating or issues around food. So that's what led me down to cognitive behavior therapy. And then after that, I did life coaching, I did NLP. And then in the last 2 years, I really, really, really started to get into nervous system health. And that all came from my own struggles with long COVID and trying to understand that, because it's something we didn't have an understanding of. And me being someone that was really healthy, super fit, I just got struck really bad with long COVID, and I just couldn't seem to figure out what was going to help it. So I just went head first, deep dive into nervous system, because essentially it was like an attack of my nervous system, my immune system, and your nervous system controls absolutely everything, and as well as your cognitive state and your cognitive function. So mental and physical health wise, I was at rock bottom, and I was trying to figure out how to get better. So I ended up doing creating what my brand is now, which is BPM method, which is all about understanding heart rate variability, breathing, your respiratory system, and using practices to regulate whether that is upregulate or downregulate the nervous system using a combination of movement, breath work, and heat and cold exposure. So again, still in the health field, still I would say that kind of umbrella term of coaching, but now more nervous system. I do heart rate training, I do ice bath and heat cold exposure workshops, I do breath work, all different types of breath work, and then I still do the CBT as well. So instead of separating things like I did previously, it's now all under the one service. So I actually won't work with anyone unless they're willing to do mind and body together. Whereas before I used to do CBT only, or maybe nutrition coaching only with a bit of training. Now it's like everything, because I feel like you can't understand yourself fully without understanding that mind-body connection, and you can't fully balance out one without working on the other. So still coaching, still nursing related, still health related, just I guess adding practices as I get older and as I grow as a coach, same as yourself, you know, always want to upskill. So that's what I'm doing now. And I've left Bali now, and I'm in Sydney for now to see what I can do with my skills and my experience over here, and hopefully just bring what I've been doing in Bali to Australia.
Yes, you Australians are very lucky to have her. Definitely recommend going to one of her workshops. Absolutely, as you know, I love everything that you do, and I think, you know, really understanding how the mind and the body are connected and how we can use our breath and like how the nervous system actually affects everything is something I've really gotten stuck into in the last year or so, and really understanding that it's not just about CBT, like it's not just about how you think. It goes so much deeper if you want to actually be able to regulate yourself. So can you explain a little bit about how can we use like the breath to help ourselves get out of like a stress state or an anxious state, for example?
I think what might be best is if I explain a little bit about the nervous system, what happens when we are stressed, in order to understand how you might get yourself out of that. So
Perfect.
I don't know how much your listeners know about the nervous system, but I'll just assume that people know nothing and break it down into really simple terms. So our nervous system controls, we have our central nervous system and our peripheral nervous system. And your central nervous system is your brain and spinal cord. And then you have your peripheral nervous system, which one section of that is your autonomic nervous system. And the way I think of the autonomic nervous system is it kind of sounds like automatic. So autonomic nervous system is what is it are all everything to do with involuntary control. So anything that we don't control. So we don't control our heart rate, we don't control our digestive system, our circulation, our blood flow. So anything that works on its own is under the control of our nervous system. And when we get into a stressed state, there is something that triggers that stressed state. And with the nervous system, you can upregulate or downregulate. You have got your sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight, flight, or freeze mode. And you have your parasympathetic nervous system, which is rest, digest, repair, recover, immune system. And depending on your environment or the triggers around you or how you're feeling, you will either be in one state or the other, or you will have a nice balanced mode of the two. So when we get stressed about anything, that can be a negative comment on Instagram, it can be something that someone said to you at work, it can be an actual threat physically in front of you. So, you know, someone pulls out, you know, a car pulls out in front of you, or someone goes through a set of lights and it's actually physically there in front of you. Whatever the trigger is, it sets off this cascade of your stress response initially. So you go into fight or flight mode. What happens is your eyes, your ears, your brain in general, everything around you detects a threat. The brain interprets the threat in front of you and sends out signals to your body. So from your brain to your body, that basically gears you up to fight for survival. So that is what your fight or flight mode is for, or has been set up for, and has evolved over time as we've grown throughout the years, with in initially being for you to go and hunt and fight, have a lot of energy to run, to go get food, going way back. And so when that fight or flight mode is triggered, all these stress hormones are released in your body. And what happens with that is it prepares you for that fight. So your heart starts racing, your breathing gets quicker. Any non-essential functions of the body are shut down. So in that moment, your digestion isn't needed. You don't need certain mechanisms of the body. You only need pupils to dilate so you can look around you, so that you can either run or hunt. And so all your major organs, there's oxygen and blood flow sent there. And the first indicator of you being in a stress state is your heart rate and your breathing. They both speed up, and if you get anxiety regularly, you will know that you will get a very fast heartbeat. It'll be thumping out of your chest, maybe dry mouth, maybe even sweating. Those are all symptoms of the stress response. And that means that you are in that survival fight or flight mode and that sympathetic nervous system state. Breathing is the only part of the nervous system that's under involuntary control, but also something that we can voluntarily control. So you have all these side effects of being in fight or flight mode, and it's really important to know that actually the most common state of fight or flight mode nowadays is not from a physical threat in front of you. It's not from a car being pulled out in front of you, or a bear chasing you, or a dog. It's actually coming from the mind a lot of the time, or social media, comparing ourselves to others. So although we know the difference between something that's real and something that's not, your brain doesn't. So if you have a lot of anxious thoughts, a lot of rumination, intrusive thought patterns, worrying, mind reading, or predicting what other people think without having any evidence, all of these are threats, and all of those will trigger that same response as if you had to actually physically run from something. So you've got all this energy flowing around your body, your the blood flow going everywhere, oxygen being sent to your heart and your lungs, because it thinks you have to run. And we can't tell the heart to slow down. We can't just say to the body, it's okay, just, that's only your mind. You have to physically manipulate that response in the moment in order to counteract the stress response, because you have the messages going from the brain to the body. And whether that threat, like I said, is actually real or not, the physical response is still the same. So you still physically put yourself in that stressful state. You have all the reactions, the fast heartbeat, etc., the fast breathing, but you could just be sitting in your room. There is no dog or no physical threat. And so the longer that we stay in that physical state, the more those stress hormones are flowing that keep this response going. Like, it doesn't just stop there. That physical state reinforces what's going on up in your mind. So this your body is sending physical feedback to your brain, which is going to continue in interpreting, yeah, I am in a stress state. So, and then your mind goes even more out of control. When we have a lot of cortisol running around the body, it impairs your cognitive function. So you cannot just be like, it's okay, calm down, stop thinking like this, brain. It doesn't work. Because your cognitive function is impaired when you are in this mode. But we have our miracle safety breaks, which is the breath. And if we can get into that state where the stress response makes our breathing go really fast, which impacts our heart rate, et cetera, we can reverse that by slowing down the breath. So we need to physically manipulate the physiological response, which in turn will basically reverse everything. So if we can slow down our breath, that can slow down the blood flow, that can slow down our heart rate, and we can shift into a parasympathetic state with the breath. So the parasympathetic state is what we're supposed to return to after an initial stressor. So when we slow down the breath, we activate the vagus nerve, which in turn activates that parasympathetic mode, that rest and digest mode. It's not like you're going to be lying down completely relaxed, but it's going to counteract the stressful state that you are in. But it has to be slow, deep breathing, using the diaphragm. And quick breathing is just going to keep the stress response going. So it has to be slow breathing, trying to get the breath deep and low so that you can low into the belly and to the lower lobes of the lungs so that you can slow down the overall rate of breathing. Because when we're really stressed, we hyperventilate. And that means that we keep that stress response going, but it also means we're not getting enough oxygen to our brain so that we can actually think. So we need to slow it down. Even in that one breath there, I feel even more relaxed. I actually feel like talking a little bit slower after just doing that one breath. And so that's something that we can do in the moment. And it's not going to be as slow as the breath I just did immediately, but just closing the eyes, trying to focus on maybe counting in for three, counting out for three, and trying to increase that count. So, in case anyone didn't know, it's the exhale that slows us down. And it's the exhale that activates that parasympathetic mode. So when you do feel panicked or stressed, whether that is racing thoughts or a physical threat in front of you, unless you need to actually run, if you're presented with exams, you obviously don't need to run, but you can get stressed by just going into an exam room. You can slow the breath before you go into the exam room, even sitting down before you start the paper, slow down the breath, close the eyes, breathe through the nose, focus on lengthening the exhale. And you will feel that change in state. The nerves will calm, which will in turn help you think more clearly and get you out of that panic mode. And it's the only thing in the nervous system, the involuntary nervous system, that we have voluntary control over. We can't tell ourselves, okay, I don't want you to pee right now. You have to go. It's involuntary. But with the breath, we can control it and use it to our advantage. Long-winded.
No, I just think this kind of stuff, it's so interesting. And I remember when you told me we were doing like the breath work at the beach, and you told me that like how by hyperventilating, like you're not getting enough oxygen to your brain so that you can't actually use that prefrontal cortex and make a conscious decision. So for all the women who are listening who struggle with binge eating, for example, like how this would apply to them, like because of like how you go into that autopilot because you can't like actually use the prefrontal cortex and make a decision based on what you truly want.
Exactly. And it happens a lot, or has happened a lot with me recently over the last 6 months or so, where I've gotten very overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed and you have a lot to do, or there's, numerous tasks that you've got a list. And when you're kind of getting stressed and overwhelmed, all you want to do is start the tasks on your list and make some progress with your work. But you can't do it when you're in that state of stress. So overwhelm is when the stress has gotten a bit too much, where you're physically having those feelings. And sitting down trying to get through the list in that moment, it's just not going to work because you've got that cortisol circulating all over your body. And you just need to reverse that a little bit, slow it down, reduce the levels of circulating cortisol, and basically get your prefrontal cortex back to its functioning mode by doing something that's going to help you activate or counteract the stress response, whether it's the breath, whether it's something like cold water, or even movement, because all of those things will help reduce the cortisol circulating, help you stop thinking, and help you get into the body a bit more. And once you do that, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, you will start to slow down and you will be able to get that cognitive function back once you shift away from that fight or flight mode state. Then you will be able to take back control over how you are feeling and over your mind, and you will be able to go through your task list, or even if it's something like emotional eating, binge eating, if you can kind of just use a tool to manage your emotions in the moment, you can prevent that behavior from actually, prevent following through with that behavior, whether it is binge eating or emotional eating, because you're using these tools to manage your emotions, which then in turn can help prevent the behavior that might be counterproductive to what your goal is. And that can be any behavior, or any unhealthy behavior. You can use tools to counteract the stress response, regulate your nervous system, and use it to implement a more healthy behavior, rather than letting your emotions and your thoughts get out of control. And again, then the stress response is triggered, and then there's an unhealthy outcome or an unwanted outcome, let's say.
Yeah, so interesting. So, and obviously, like breathing is something that you can do at any time, like anywhere. You need to breathe. Like, even if you're in a conference room and you're having a meeting and you're starting getting really stressed because you have to get up and speak, like
Yeah.
there are so many other like somatic practices, like tapping, for example, that might not be something you want to do in a conference room, like start tapping your forehead. But breathing is just so like such a good tool, and I think it's scary that not many more people know how to actually use the breath.
Yeah.
But can you give the listeners like a few, or like one like technique that you can that they can use like at any time? Like obviously slowing down the out-breath, but is there like, should they count for a certain amount of seconds in? Should they hold? Should they breathe through the nose, through the mouth? Like, yeah, can you take us through that?
Yeah, so with the breath, like it basically depends on what sort of state that you're in. So it sounds like a lot of your listeners might be struggling with stress or anxiety or in that hyper aroused state, which means that you are in fight or flight mode. So depending on what state you're in, we have a number of breaths that we can use. So I'm going to go with people that feel stressed or anxious. And when we're stressed or anxious, like I mentioned earlier, you are hyperventilating. It might not be, it just means breathing too quickly. So the actual ideal number of breaths to take per minute is actually six. If we were to,
Wow.
yeah, if we were to actually count our breaths now, me and you would probably be fine. Like we might get 6 to 8 because we're nice and relaxed. But the average person is taking 12 to 16 breaths per minute. And that is because the world has adapted. There's a lot more pressure on us. We are sitting a lot more. And then that influences our posture. So even if we're not a stressed person, how we're sitting and our posture influences the ability to take efficient breaths. But also pressure of work, kids, relationships, but even body image or stress of how you look, appearance, makes us breathe too quickly. And that might not be quickly enough for you to realize, apart from if you put on a 60-second timer now and count your breaths, because I just said six. And until you have that awareness that you're over breathing, or that you might be breathing from your upper chest, because actually we're supposed to be breathing using the diaphragm, which is this is a muscle that's between your ribs and your belly button. So if people put one hand on their between their ribs and their belly button, and one hand on their chest and breathe normally, then if you are only feeling movement from where your hand is on your chest, that's an indicator that you're not breathing efficiently, you're not breathing using your diaphragm. And when we only take the breath from the upper chest, you're also breathing, you're keeping that rate of breathing quick because you're not taking full deep breaths. When we take full deep breaths, the overall rate of breathing is slowed because we're taking in more volume at one time. So instead of breathing, you're breathing. And so you can slow down the breathing in that way. But the easiest technique to use is something that's called coherent breathing. So when we're in a stress state as well, again, people might not have the awareness until they listen to this podcast, but being in a stress state often means that we breathe through the mouth because we're trying to get more oxygen in. And the nostrils are, 50% less, maybe even a little bit more. Sorry, maybe even a bit, little bit less than that. There's 50, like if you look at the size of the nostrils compared to the size of the mouth, they're way smaller. And so when you're stressed, your body wants you to take more breaths to get more oxygen in. And so the easiest way to do that is through the mouth and not the nose. And so there might be a lot of mouth breathers listening. And if you're listening and being like, okay, that's me, you can swap the breathing to the nose when you're feeling a little bit stressed, or if you wake up on edge or feeling a little bit anxious. What you need to do is try and get the breath generated from that space between your ribs and your belly button, and then expanding the way the ribs outwards, and then you're bringing the breath up to the chest. Because what happens is we're breathing up and down because we're breathing too fast in that stress state, which means we're not getting enough oxygen in, which means we're probably breathing through the mouth. And that is exactly what keeps the breath going. So, coherent breathing technique means that you're basically just breathing in equal counts on the inhale and the exhale, preferably in and out through the nose. Although, people might struggle with that if they're not used to breathing through the nose. So, focus on bringing the breath from the diaphragm, or generated from the diaphragm, and you're expanding the ribs horizontally, and then you bring the ribs or the breath up to the chest. So you're breathing in like this. Now I'm over exaggerating the noise there so people can hear, but you're basically breathing in through the nose for one, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four, inhale, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four. And it helps to slow the breath when you use your diaphragm a little bit more. It slows down the overall rate of breathing. There's also something called nitric oxide that pools in the nostrils. It doesn't happen when we breathe through the mouth. And what nitric oxide does is it's a vasodilator, and it means that that'll open up all your blood vessels and will deliver oxygen to the tissues, so that when you're anxious or stressed and not getting enough oxygen in, if you can slow the breath, use your diaphragm more, try to breathe a little bit more horizontally, relax the shoulders, breathe through the nose. You will get more oxygen delivery around your body and up to your brain, which will help calm those anxious thoughts. So I think if you can breathe, try to breathe nasally as much as possible. But if that means you're breathing quick, then that's kind of counterproductive. Because I can say breathe through the nose and you could be breathing like this. That is keeping the breathing fast, which is keeping the stress response going. So remember what I said about the exhale slowing us down. So if you struggle with slowing the breath in and out through the nose, what you can do is breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, but make restriction with your mouth. So you want to restrict the breath. You don't want to go, if I was stressed, this is the worst thing that I could do. I'm still breathing in and out through the in through the nose and out through the mouth, but I'm not slowing the breath. So you can try and slow it as much as possible by making restriction with your mouth, pursing your lips a little bit, and then in and out through the nose. So slowing the exhale is the best thing that you can do and trying to get it back to the nose. If that means you can just practice by doing in nose, out mouth with restriction, that's fine. And eventually you will get in nose, out nose. But just the overall rate of breathing is what's going to help you slow down. So if they just practice in through the nose, out through the nose or mouth for four counts and four counts, if they're not feeling the relaxing effects quickly enough, breathe in for four, exhale for six. So extend the exhale a little bit more, because then that'll push you more into that parasympathetic mode. But you don't need to use any fancy techniques, breath work techniques. You just need to slow the breath, bring it right down into your belly, breathe, expand your ribs, try and breathe even into your back a little bit, remembering that our lungs are at the back of our body, not at the front, but we breathe from the front a lot. So trying to breathe low into the belly, expand the ribs all the way around your back, then breathe, bring the breath up. And just by doing that, you're bringing in a lot more volume of air into the body, and that'll help slow the rate. And when we slow the rate of breathing, that tells the body it's safe. We want to be in parasympathetic mode, and you will counteract that stress response, which is, that's what anxious thoughts are, or overthinking. It is just keeping that stress response going, but very minor. It doesn't have to be a big, big threat. It's the daily buildup of the stressors that cause the issues with our poor breathing, and what keeps that stress response going without us really having that huge awareness. You might think, okay, I'm feeling anxious today, but you're not thinking about what is my body feeling like today? How is my breathing affected by my thinking?
Yeah, just even just doing that, and I was doing it like subconsciously with you, and I
Yeah.
immediately just feel calmer. And I think just honestly, just by being aware of what your body's doing, it's just gonna shift so much. And I
Yeah.
remember when I first started doing this work, and I was kind of like, what do you mean? Like, just be aware. Like, I'm fucking stressed. Like, I don't
Yeah.
care how I'm breathing. But then, like, once you actually apply it, then you're like, oh shit, like, this is what it feels like to breathe. Like through the stomach, not just up here. Or this is, like you said, like expanding the diaphragm, and and like actually feeling what that feels like, and not just like in and out, in and out. Like, it
Yeah.
makes such a huge difference when you're coming back to your body and really practicing that slowing down. And then you're gonna start seeing things a bit more clearly. And then, these you girls who are struggling with a lot of anxious thoughts or binge eating or negative body image or overthinking, whatever it is, like, this is when you can start addressing these thoughts, because
Yeah.
addressing them when you are in that super heightened state, it's almost gonna be impossible to calm yourself down.
Yeah, and I think it's something that you can implement quite easily. You don't have to go to a yoga class or a meditation class, or go pay to go to sauna and ice bath place. This is something that you could do on the daily for 2 to 3 minutes. And it's something that you can do before bed as well. If someone wakes up anxious, you want to kind of try and not prevent it, but at least reduce the intensity of those anxious feelings, or the overthinking or the rumination, whatever it is. So you can do that kind of breath going to bed. It will help you relax you a bit more. It will make your sleep better. And I'm not saying that your anxious thoughts will be gone, but maybe they'll be less intense in the morning. And then you do it again in the morning, 2 or 3 minutes, while it doesn't take an hour out of your day. And just, giving yourself that time before you have to go to work or whatever it is, and just noticing, maybe other symptoms of stress in your body. Are your shoulders hunched up? Do you have pain? Are you not recovering from training? What's your digestion like? What's your toilet function like? All of these things are big indicators of the stress response, and the breath is the tool, but the stress can come out in other ways. And just checking in with yourself in the morning, using the breath while you're doing that. You don't need to do anything fancy. Breathe in for four, breathe out for six, breathe in for four, breathe out for six, while you're just saying, okay, yeah, my shoulders are hunched. I really do have lower back pain. I've got pains in my stomach, or you haven't gone to the toilet in 3 days. All signs that you're stuck in that fight or flight mode. So, just doing this 2 or 3 minutes in the morning and the evening will have really huge benefits, because It's not that you're going to be out of this stress state or anxious state immediately, but the more that you can just take yourself out of that fight or flight mode, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, even if for the rest of the day you're back feeling anxious, do it at lunch again. You know, go into the toilet, close the door, do it when you're at work, 2, 3 minutes of breathing. You're teaching your body how to adapt and counteract that stress response. And I think there's a big misconception that like nobody should be stressed. That's actually wrong. It's what you do when you are stressed and how you adapt and how quickly can you take yourself back from that state, and teach the body how to adapt in that moment. So every time you do 2 or 3 minutes of breathing, you are reducing that cortisol, that stress response, and bit by bit, you will get better and better at it. Not to say that those thoughts won't be there or the anxiety won't be there, but your management will be better. It'll be less intense. And maybe it goes to like every second day, every third day. And that's going to have massive benefits for your health, because your heart rate will be lower, your heart rate variability will be better, your thinking will be more regulated, and of course then your nervous system will be more regulated. So it's just about building it up bit by bit with a habit that's so easy that you can't say no. Because if someone was to say, go do an hour of breath work every day, you're not going to do it. 2 minutes, everyone can do, especially if you're lying in bed. So it's just simple, and it's something that you will feel the benefits of immediately. It's not something that we have to wait for, like building legs in the gym or getting really fit. It's like that's really takes time. Whereas with the breath, you should feel it after even 1 minute if you slow it down.
Yeah, for sure. So I also wanted to talk to you about breath work, which is different from breathing to slow down. Can you, for the people who, because I had no idea really what breath work was. I thought it was just, you know, on Instagram you see people doing all these weird, crazy movements and the bodies and people crying and screaming. And yeah, I had no idea what the hell it was. So for the people who were as clueless as I was, can you please explain what is breath work?
So breath work is, I guess, a huge umbrella term where we can use different breathing techniques for a specific outcome, depending on what we want. So if we're feeling, I think you're talking about the transformational style breath work, which I'll talk about in a second, but we can use any breathing style to influence the state of our nervous system in whatever way we want. So we're talking a lot about stress here and fight or flight mode and how to slow the breath and relax. But we can actually flip that sometimes as well. If you're someone that is feeling lethargic, you know, you're too much in your parasympathetic, you're actually not feeling motivated, you're feeling lazy, you need a boost in energy, we can use breath work to actually on purpose or forcefully trigger that fight or flight mode when we need a boost of energy, when we need to wake up, when we need to get work done, when we want to go for a run or go to the gym. We can actually use the breath to forcefully put ourselves in fight or flight mode, but it's not, you know, it's not a huge stress response. It's just a breath, different type of breaths we are using basically to wake us up. So you do want your breathing to be a bit quicker. You do want oxygen going all around your body. You do want the blood flow going to all your muscles so that you can train hard or focus or whatever it is you want to do. So it's not just, that's called upregulation style breath work. The down regulation is when we're too high or too much in that sympathetic state and we want to relax. Well, we've already talked about that. Then there is the transformational style breathwork. Now, there's so many different terms for this. There's breakthrough breathwork, emotional release breathwork, trauma release breathwork, transformational breathwork. This style of breathwork is a forcefully induced hyperventilation state. So this is something we've just spoken about, how we don't want to be hyperventilating. We want to be able to relax, and that's because of your stress response causing that hyperventilation. That is just the effects of the stress response on our breathing and why we wouldn't want to be in that state on a day-to-day basis. Transformational breathing is forcefully making us hyperventilate under guidance. It's a facilitated session. And there's so many reasons people do this style of breathwork, but mainly it's to release emotions or trauma in the body. A massive one would be to reach altered states of consciousness. And the reason that people call it emotional or trauma release breathwork is because when we do have traumas or stressful situations, or even breakups and things, we often don't have time to decompress, and the body stores all this information of trauma and negative emotions. And when we're under a lot of stress, even the shape and the size of your cells are affected. And it affects your organs, it affects the cortisol, the stress hormones in your body. It affects, you might see people that are very stressed, or people that are very inflamed. They think they've gained weight, and actually this is all stress. So any traumas, deep emotional, negative energies, they all get stored in the body. And 99% of us don't have time to stop and process things that we're going through. You push it down because you have to get back to work, you have to get on with things, and you don't have time to, I guess, let it out. And so with transformational breathwork, we're purposely going into that hyperventilation state. And what happens is we breathe, we overbreathe on purpose. So you're taking two inhales for one exhale. So in that way, the most logical way to explain it is, if you're breathing in two inhales and breathing out one exhale, but breathing very quickly, you're blowing off a lot of carbon dioxide. So the inhale is taking in oxygen, the exhale is blowing off carbon dioxide. And when we blow off that much carbon dioxide, because we're breathing really quick, we get into a state that's called respiratory alkalosis. And what that means is that there's a decrease of carbon dioxide in our blood. It actually changes the pH of our blood. I don't think people understand how serious the impact this can have on your physiology, your hormones, your blood pH. So because you're blowing off so much carbon dioxide in the one session and bringing in a lot of oxygen, that changes our whole physiology. When you have respiratory alkalosis, means that the blood pH increases. And from an let's say when I would have been nursing, if the pH of the blood changes, that is very dangerous. If the blood becomes more acidic or more alkaline, and there's things that you would have to give patients in order to bring your pH back to a normal level. So this style of breathing purposely puts us into a state of respiratory alkalosis under, safely, or should be done safely, often isn't done safely. And when we're in a state of respiratory alkalosis, the amount of carbon dioxide in our body is not balanced with what it normally should be. And what happens in this state is you can literally go into an altered state of consciousness. You can access the subconscious mind in this state, which is actually where 95% of, like, our conscious brain, me and you speaking here, awareness is actually only 5% of our thinking and our actual reality. The other 95 is in the subconscious brain, which is very hard to access unless you do something like meditation and this style of breathwork. So we can access things that are in our subconscious mind, which is things we are unaware of. We can release trapped emotions in the body. We can increase theta and delta waves in our brain. So we can actually activate those brain waves that puts us into that dreamlike state, floaty state. And it helps to completely reset the body and the mind. So oftentimes people will talk about, leaving their body. or memories will come up for people, or situations or experiences that firstly they might have never remembered, or secondly, situations, experiences, memories that they thought they were well over and they're not over, or people coming to them that have might have passed away, or they might envision their future self. All sorts of things can happen in this sort of state as a result of this particular style of breath work. And that's why people like to do this breath work, because you get to experience things that and you influence your body and your mind in a way by using this style of breathing, by influencing your actual physiology. We can improve our immune system, we can repair some of those cells that might be a bit abnormal. We can release emotions and, have a bit of time with that subconscious mind that tells us things. We might not be over this, we might still be hurting from this, and we're not aware of that when we're going about our day to day, or we might be suppressing it. So it's an opportunity to completely reset, to see what might be in the subconscious mind, and at the very minimum, be extremely, extremely relaxed and enter into that parasympathetic mode for about 60 to 90 minutes. And it's just sometimes you might focus on, there might be stuff to do with your ego that you thought you would let go of, or like I said, situations that you haven't thought of in a very long time, or even ever, that might come to you in a breathwork session. And then you can integrate that. So whatever comes to you in your breathwork session, not to say that you have this experience every time, but you can then integrate, okay, I thought I was over that person, or I thought, that didn't bother me. And oh, I see my future self doing this job. I'm not in that job. I'm not doing anything related to that job. And then you can be like, what will I do with this information? Let me do a bit of therapy since I'm not over that. Let me actually pull back on my training because I seem to be, using exercise as a coping strategy. Let me actually go explore that career avenue because that's what I saw in my, visual experience in my breathwork. So there's all sorts of things, physical and psychological, that can come from this sort of transformational breathwork experience. But at the same time, it can be, there is contraindications to it. Not everybody can do it. It has to be done facilitated in a very safe environment. And so anyone who hasn't done this style of breathwork, make sure that you are informed on who it's suitable for, because people with any psychological issues, PTSD, schizophrenia, even circulatory issues, heart issues, because of the profound impact you're having on the brain and the body, this can be very, very serious if someone with these conditions goes to do this style of breathwork. And I think that's one thing I definitely want to highlight on this episode, is that yes, it's amazing. You can get really good benefits and have a really amazing experience. It can completely change your life. It can help you grow, as long as you're suitable for it and with someone that is safe and knows what they're doing. And that's not to scare anyone. It's just I do know that there is people that don't know any of the things that I've just mentioned, and I mean facilitators that don't know what respiratory alkalosis is and how profound it can be in a good way, but also can be unsafe if it's not, if you're not monitored, which is why I use the heart rate monitors in my sessions as an extra level of safety. You're watching how, making sure people are okay, and then obviously supporting them throughout. So usually a lot of emotional release comes out in the sessions, and you don't need to worry about why. It's just your body telling you that this is trapped inside me and I want to let go. And you will feel so much lighter afterwards, once you've released all that trapped negative energy or those emotions that have been stuck in your body, maybe all your life, if you've never done this before.
Yeah, honestly, I think that one of the biggest reasons why I feel like I've healed so much in the last year is because we did those few breathwork sessions that we did. I think I've done like three with you or something, three or
Yeah.
four. And yeah, like I was like, people listening to this, I understand that you're scared, because I always have people message me about, oh, how is this? It's scary. And like, I was really scared as well. And like, I knew that the, you know, things could go wrong, and that, you know, you see all of those videos on Instagram of people screaming and their bodies are crazy. And like, I was afraid of losing control. So having that heart rate monitor and knowing that you are so aware of these things, like, that was really safe for me. And I think that really allowed me to really tap into, you know, stuff that I had been holding on to. Like, I didn't realize that I was, like, everyone listens to this, like, you know that my dad passed away in a car accident. And that was something I thought that I had processed, but I definitely didn't. And like, so many crazy things were happening when you're doing the session here with me in my room. And like the speaker fell off the freaking table, and like you said that there was like red, like light kind of vibes, energies in the room. Like, it's just, oh, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. But I highly recommend that if you are interested in doing breathwork, like, booking, even if you don't think that you have trauma. Because I didn't really, like, well, I kind of thought that something was going on, like, deep down, but I was like, I don't know what it is. But even if, like, even if you don't have anything, like, then you're just gonna feel super energized after.
And relaxed. And I sometimes just knowing what it feels like to actually feel relaxed is enough for you to be like, whoa, I never feel like that. So that helps you again bring that awareness. Fuck, yeah, I never feel like that, which shows you that you are going around in that stress state. And another, like, you know, amazing benefit of that style of breath work is the switching off of that prefrontal cortex. So if you do have a lot of anxious girls, overthinkers, struggling with body image, there is no thought by the end of that breath work. It is completely Easter egg, football, nothing inside. And for me, that's the biggest benefit, because I'm not a very visual person when I do my breath work. I get more physical responses. And sometimes people just fall asleep as well, and they need that rest, that non-sleep deep rest. So all the time people are like, I think I fell asleep. And I'm like, no, because when I went over to you, you're still doing the breathing pattern, and that breathing pattern is hard. So if you were asleep, you wouldn't be able to do it. But it's that non-sleep deep rest, those theta and delta waves that you've activated, where you think you're asleep but you're not, but your brain and your body and your nervous system are getting all the juicy benefits of being completely relaxed. And your heart rate will be so low, depending on your experience, unless you're having a quite emotional reaction. But it doesn't matter what reaction you have, because all of them are beneficial. And so yeah, I obviously was like making sure that people were aware of the unsafety of it, but it can be amazing for giving you insight and a deeper understanding of yourself, which is, you know, you can take afterwards and then use towards your personal development and your growth.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I could just listen to you talk all day long. I don't even want to go, but I do have to go, and I don't want to keep you all day as well. But thank you so much for coming on. Before we go, do you like give yourself a little plug? Like, are you taking on clients at the moment? Like, who can work with you? Companies like Ice Bath, where can you be found?
Yeah, well, now I'm in Sydney. I only got here on Friday, so I'm only here a couple of days. I do work online anyways. I do online breathwork sessions. I've got nervous system regulation courses. I do coaching, but I will be doing in-person events and stuff here in Sydney, and one-to-one breathworks. Just have to find a nice space for myself, and then set it up. But if anyone is interested in either online or in person, just drop me an email at becca@beccagillen.com, or find me on Instagram, bpm.method or Becca Gillen, and we can chat there. And thank you so much for having me, Ellen.
Yeah, of course, my pleasure. Yeah, I'll tag all of that in the show notes, as of course. And yeah, like, I can highly recommend reaching out to Becca, no matter if that is breath work or, you know, nervous system regulation, or if you just want to like learn a little bit more. Even just like following your page, like every time you post something, it is very, very educational. It's not just your
Thank you.
typical influencer page. So yeah, definitely go and follow her. We didn't even get to talk about Ice Bath, but
I
I will have to have
know.
you back another time. Yeah,
Exactly.
that's fine. As usual, guys, please make sure that you do take a screenshot, you share it on Instagram, you tag myself, tag Becca, and just so we can say thank you, but also so that this podcast can reach more people, because the more people we reach, the more people we can help. So yeah, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I will see you all next week. Bye.